Iowa Falls, W228 P.O. Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.
Практически по всей...
Russian President Vladimir Putin, during his annual news conference, raising the possibility of a prisoner swap with the U.S. for Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich and military vet Paul Whelan. Putin says the Biden administration would have to make an offer that satisfies Russia. Democrats responding after House Republicans voted unanimously to launch a formal impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Maryland's Jamie Raskin tells CBS's Scott McFarlane.
They've been at it for so long, and of course Donald Trump wants to keep it going into the next year for the campaign season.
You think Trump's directing this?
Oh, completely.
A former transportation official not surprised about Tesla's recall of more than 2 million cars for an autopilot issue. Robert Sumwalt tells CBS he had a phone conversation with Elon Musk about 6 years ago.
As the chairman of the NTSB, I'm talking to him about this investigation, and he hung up on me.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University Wisconsin regents are changing course and voting for a deal they rejected Saturday. Among other things, the universities get employee pay raises in exchange for downsizing diversity offices. Amy Bogus changed her vote after assurances that diversity is still key to the system's strategic plan.
We will hold our feet to the fire on this, and by adopting this resolution, it does not reduce or eliminate that accountability for them or for us.
The deal also paves the way for a new engineering building on the Madison campus. All of Wisconsin's U.S. House Republicans voted for the impeachment inquiry into President Biden. The vote merely extends the House investigation into President Biden. It does not impeach him or remove him from office. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. City of Eau Claire residents will see a bump in their property taxes for 2024. The mill rate for the city has been set with a 2.55% increase over the 2023 rate. To calculate your property taxes, you can divide your assessed property value by 1,000 and multiply that number by 18.332. City of Eau Claire officials say the mill rate increase is normal operating procedure and rises annually to account for the cost of living adjustment for municipalities. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced a new federally funded program to reduce homelessness and support households in Wisconsin. In a press release, Governor Evers announced the Home American Rescue Plan program, which will expand safe and stable housing for low-income and housing-insecure households. The program will receive $42 million of federal funding from the American Rescue Plan Act. It will also help Wisconsin build new and affordable rental housing across the state. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat! It's got... Come on!
Okay, and this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Giannis with a new franchise record. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 64 points last night as the Bucks whipped the Pacers 140-126. 64 points with 13 rebounds, the most points scored in a single game in franchise history, surpassing Michael Redd's 57 points in 2006 against the Utah Jazz. But disappointment after the game. Giannis says the Pacers did not give him the ball to keep as a souvenir, even though the game was in Milwaukee.
Can you confirm that you have the game ball from tonight?
I really don't know. I have a ball, but I don't know if it's a game ball. It doesn't feel like the game ball to me.
College basketball. The Badgers host Jacksonville State tonight at 6. The Wisconsin Badgers volleyball team to face Texas in the NCAA semifinals tonight in Tampa. That's at 8:30. Packers pretty banged up after losing to the Giants and getting ready for the Buccaneers.
Obviously, just throughout this week, it's going to be a little bit lighter week. We had a walkthrough today, have a walkthrough tomorrow, just kind of let guys get their bodies back.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and warmer today. We'll get to around 49 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 31. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a few afternoon showers, 45, with rain possible on Friday night into early Saturday. The weekend will be partly cloudy with highs in the low 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 29.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, what's happening? Brother,
what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, stop.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Earl. You know, I'm pretty excited that Giannis scored 64 points last night.
Did you watch it?
I didn't actually watch the game. I caught the box score at the end, and I was like, holy crap.
He really went crazy. I thought you were going to say you were excited that we're another day closer to Friday.
That, too.
But I watched the game last night, and, you know, he scored 54 against them the game before and 47. They played three games, so it goes to show that they can't do anything to stop him. But at the same time, Indiana won two of those games. So it's tough. And it got a little ugly at the end of the game. Did you hear about what happened at the end?
Yeah, I saw some clips. There's definitely some animosity from the loss in the in-season tournament.
Giannis was going. They took the game ball, right? Indiana took the game ball. Because one of their players scored his first point. I guess there's some tradition that when a player scores his first point in the NBA, they get to take the ball, the game ball. I guess it's traditional. So they took the game ball because their guy scored 1 point, his first point, and Giannis had broke this record, so he wanted the game ball. But Indiana had already taken the ball, and Giannis went basically after it. It got real ugly, man. It really got real ugly. And I think the NBA is probably going to be dealing with it because it just didn't look right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Giannis definitely overreacted and got overly emotional. But at the same time, I think Indiana knew what they were doing. Like the first bucket, like a it is a special moment for that player to get his first NBA bucket, but it doesn't exactly compare to the franchise scoring record.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is, man. But anyway, I want to welcome back to the airwaves State Senator Lena Taylor. Good morning to you, Senator Taylor. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning. I'm doing well this morning. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I don't want to put you on the spot, but how long have you been in state government now?
Wow.
I was thinking about it. I was trying to remember and recall, but 20, you...
What years?
What?
It'll be 20 years.
So you are probably, safe to say, how long have you been a senator?
I have been a senator since 2005.
Wow. So
I got elected in 2004. So basically elected almost, you know, towards the middle of the year. Next year it'll be elected in 20 years.
So you are almost one of the longest standing senators. I'm state senators, right?
I'm third right now.
That's pretty amazing to me, because I remember when you first got elected.
But not the longest serving black senator, as a matter of fact.
Not the longest serving
black senator, definitely not the longest serving senator.
Who is the longest serving black woman. Who is the longest serving? I'm talking about right now.
Longest serving right now is Rob Coles. I think then comes Bob Wirtz, and then comes Tim Carpenter.
Yeah, but you're a handful of only a few.
I'm the longest serving woman.
Okay.
I'm the longest serving woman.
So the reason I asked Senator Taylor is I was thinking about the Scott Fitzgeralds, the Glenn Grothmans of the world, and other people of that ilk that you've had to serve with. They've been
there when I came.
I know, but can you compare them to your colleagues of today? Is there a difference in the Republican group since you come in, and what would you say that is as far as trying
Definitely there is a difference. When I came in, it was really I came in on the end of bipartisan relationships being a lot different than they are now, meaning some people had apartments, you know, together. They hung out.
You mean Democrats and Republicans?
That is correct. They did dinner together. You know, they worked on legislation together. People went to like briefings about different topics together. It was very different. When I came in, campaign finance reform had just been passed. We were off of the campaign scandal that happened in the Capitol, where people were using legislative staff to do some things. This is after Scott Jennings and Gary Goyke and Brian. What was Brian's last name? I can't remember Brian's last name for the life of me right now. And I was in the seat that he had been in. So all that to say, you know, those things that happened, and some persons were still in the building that had been used to that bipartisan work. Well, that changed. Once campaign finance happened, we no longer were doing things after hours, or, you know, doing briefings out of the building where food was served. It became an issue where then you had to pay like a nominal amount, and then the comparison of what you paid and what you ate was in question. So then they just all around stopped doing that kind of stuff, because for legislators to pay, you know, $10, $5, $10, you know, to go to all of these things when we only make, you know, $50,000 back then, with 40 something thousand. It was not something that everybody was doing. So I also find that there used to be, or at least to me, it seemed that there was a lot more willingness to work together, to craft stuff, to come to compromises. After Act 10, there was just a whole nother mindset, you know, like take it or leave it, you know. Working on legislation was like a takeout meal. You know, you couldn't be a part of picking the menu and grocery shopping for what it needed to be and helping to prepare it. You just got the takeout meal when you got there, and that's the bill. That's how it's going to be.
So, Senator Taylor, is it safe to
and
say?
And now, one last thing. Let me just say this part. And now I would say that I do believe that there's been a little more growth for working together. But honestly, it also happened on the other side of the aisle, meaning, you know, we went through a time period where Democrats felt like you should not be working with somebody. I remember when Mandela Barnes ran against me, they tried to make it seem like because I did work across the aisle that that was a negative thing and that you shouldn't work across the aisle. And when I was like, you know, do you want a hero or a shero or a zero, meaning I did like 100+ pieces of legislation and he had zero, what kind of legislator did you want? And I can tell you that I felt like I saw a change in Democrats after that to want to at least work on bills across the aisle. And so this, you know, that grew. And now I see it more in the people who have just began to come in to do something, you know, across the aisle. But it's not a lot. It's not like it's not like it was when I first.
So there's no question. You clearly, at a time when it was taboo, did some work across the aisle. Let me ask you if the change occurred because Governor Doyle was in place prior to Scott Walker. So did the change come with Scott Walker and his group?
It did. It already was changing, but it was not this point. It was not like what they were, you know, before. Like people weren't hanging out together, you know, like before I got elected during Doyle. We still worked together. We still compromise. We worked on things that we knew we had to do. It was very different. You wouldn't believe the banter, but good relationship that Mark Pocan and Robin Voss had on the Finance Committee. So it was different. But then after Scott Walker at Act 10, buddy, it got bad.
So you
couldn't even touch your seatmate. Arm. It was so negative.
So Senator Taylor, I want you, if you can hang on a second, we've got to take a little hiatus, but I want to delve a little deeper into that because people who are listening from across the state may not be aware of these changes. And again, I've been around long enough to remember when the state was one of the beacons of congeniality in the country. And I remember them talking about Wisconsin having the cleanest government in the nation. I'm old enough to remember that. And I also know the change and the turn. So we're going to talk a little bit about that if you will.
Okay.
All right. My guest is State Senator Lena Taylor. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Don't touch that dial.
The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love 2 turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you'll hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Lena Taylor. So Senator Taylor, the reason that I was asking those questions is because you've seen the state kind of wind up as almost infamous in some of the things that have gone on and have been passed over the last, 15 years. You've seen, again, that transition from Governor Walker down to Governor Evers. You went from being on the Finance Committee, one of the most powerful seats at the state level, and I'm sure you are still well-respected by your colleagues. And so let me ask you, when we get into situations like we just dealt with the state and the DEI, Department of Equity and Inclusion, and a decision that was just made, diversity and inclusion, and a decision that was just overturned by the Board of Regents. Your thoughts on that?
I feel it's sad. And one of the reasons I feel it's sad is because at one point, Fortune 500 companies actually spoke with the UW system. You mentioned during one of my stints on the Finance Committee, so I was on the Finance Committee, off the Finance Committee, on the Finance Committee, and then off. During the time that I was on the committee, UW System had been informed by the Fortune 500 companies that their graduates were coming out and not really prepared for the diversity that existed in the world. And they were, not wanting to continue to hire. And so working on diversity, equity, and inclusion was something that we spoke about and we tried to prioritize on the Finance Committee so it could be prioritized in the UW system, or the Universities of Wisconsin now, as they call them. And so it really is a reflection of the leadership on whether or not it's something that you believe should be prioritized or not, and your stance on that becomes how important is that to you, and they've clearly made the decision that building and a budget cycle, because it's not a permanency, is more important.
So what leadership are you speaking of, Senator Taylor? What leadership?
Both the leadership in the legislature as well as the leadership at the universities of Wisconsin, meaning the president. The president of UW has, of the University of Madison and the president of the universities of Wisconsin and the Board of Regents across all of the universities of Wisconsin, they have made the decision that it's not as important whether or not we prioritize diversity, equity, and inclusion, because the response is coming from a request from the legislature who said, you know, basically you need to not prioritize those things, you know, if you want to get funding for your university, if you want to get funding for your staff, if you want to move forward in the way that you like, the things you've been asking us for that we wouldn't fund, yeah, we're not going to fund them unless you do what we want. It clearly is an assault, the same assault that we've seen by this legislature, the Republican controlled legislature, the Republicans in the Senate and the Assembly. It has been clear that they do not want to see diversity, equity, and inclusion move forward. And we have seen an assault on Black people in particular more than any of the other groups exist through the legislative leadership of the Republicans. And we've seen it pushed aside also by our Democratic colleagues. And so even though individuals made statements, you know, in this situation, when you go and look at the people who are on the Board of Regents, who appointed them, where they're from, the people of color that
there's only two,
you know, have,
I think, on the Board of Regents,
and
right?
When you look at the vote, you see that even some people of color, and I'm not certain on the last vote if it was all people of color, have been willing for menial dollars, in my opinion, you know, because long term, one budget cycle or some bonding is nothing compared to the values that we need to instill for the future in a state where we lead in some of the worst disparities in the nation.
You know, Senator Taylor, you just, that's the part that hurts my heart. We know mm-hmm. about the issues as it relates to race in the state of Wisconsin, that, and it's been there forever. And so for people to say, okay, we're going to dismiss that, is what that says to me is that all of these young people in your and my community are now going to grow up having to deal with even worse conditions than you and I did. How is that right?
You know, it's not right, Earl. And the one thing that I've learned is that you can't expect even people who have no knowledge, no understanding to have a will even. Definitely not a purpose for coming in and trying to make sure that that change happens. You have to make an affirmative effort. You have to take affirmative action.
Yes.
To address presently where we are and to set the course for us to be somewhere different. You know, Wisconsin's motto is forward. The affirmative action that has been taken by the Board of Regents and the president and the legislative leader is to say we will not continue on a course to move us forward.
Senator Taylor, can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right. State Senator Lena Taylor, 844-967-2789. We'll be right.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new federal program will distribute about $42 million to reduce homelessness and expand affordable housing in Wisconsin. Applicants looking to develop rental units and provide support services can apply on the state of Wisconsin's website. State lawmakers are considering keeping athletes transitioning from male to female out of women's and girls' high school and college sports in Wisconsin. Republican Representative Barbara Dittrich says it's to protect women and girls.
Biological males, you know, have higher bone density, are often taller, more muscle mass. That doesn't change with a hormone shot or a pill.
But a civil rights attorney who testified at a Senate committee hearing yesterday warned the bills would likely be struck down for being unconstitutional. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court is set to decide if former Eau Claire County District Attorney Gary King will lose his license to practice law. Disciplinary proceedings were filed against King by the Office of Lawyer Regulation, asking to suspend his license for 9 months. King was accused of sexually harassing a coworker, falling asleep, and being intoxicated at work and in court hearings. He resigned in August of 2021. The State Supreme Court will announce their decision on Friday. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has decided it will not hear a challenge to school choice in the state just yet. The lawsuit was filed by Kirk Bangstad, the owner of Minocqua Brewing. It claims that school choice violates the Wisconsin Constitution and hurts the state's public school system. The newly liberal court decided that the challenge to the school choice program must first go through the lower courts before they would rule on it. Supporters of school choice say ending it would hurt over 50,000 Wisconsin kids. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Giannis with a new franchise record. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 64 points last night as the Bucks whipped the Pacers 140-126. 64 points with 13 rebounds, the most points scored in a single game in franchise history, surpassing Michael Redd's 57 points in 2006 against the Utah Jazz. But disappointment after the game. Giannis says the Pacers did not give him the ball to keep as a souvenir, even though the game was in Milwaukee.
Can you confirm that you have the game ball from tonight?
I really don't know. I have a ball, but I don't know if it's a game ball. It doesn't feel like the game ball to me.
College basketball. The Badgers host Jacksonville State tonight at 6. The Wisconsin Badgers volleyball team to face Texas in the NCAA semifinals tonight in Tampa. That's at 8:30. Packers pretty banged up after losing to the Giants and getting ready for the Buccaneers.
Obviously, just throughout this week, it's going to be a little bit lighter week. We had a walkthrough today, have a walkthrough tomorrow. Just kind of let guys get their bodies back.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and warmer today. We'll get to around 49 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 31. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a few afternoon showers, 45, with rain possible on Friday night into early Saturday. The weekend will be partly cloudy with highs in the low 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 31.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Somebody clap your hands. Yes. Well, it's time
Don't stop clapping now.
Joy to the world.
Yes.
Let earth receive the King.
That's all right. Somebody sing joy one more time.
Joy to the world.
Come on. Yes.
Joy to the world.
He says, let earth receive.
Let earth receive the King.
All right. Yes. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Lena Taylor. Let's go to the phone lines. And Stephen from Green Bay, good morning to you, Stephen. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
So I'm a little confused what happened between Saturday and yesterday that made so much of a difference that one person decided to change their vote on this whole thing that the Republicans are trying to, you know.
So Stephen, let me correct you. It wasn't one person that changed. It was initial vote was 9-8 against, but this last vote wound up 11-6. So more than one person changed their mind, and that's why, you know, I thought it was important we have Senator Taylor on. But go ahead, finish your point.
I guess my point is that the UW system in the state of Wisconsin has been the backbone of the state for years, and the fact that Robin Voss is going to come in there and the Republicans and say, hey, we're going to hold you know, pay raises hostage unless you set the university and the state back, because let's be honest, what the university does, the state follows. Hold that whole process back. I mean, at this point, we might as well change the motto on our state flag from forward to backwards, because that's what we've been doing for the last several years, is going backwards. We're falling behind in the race here, and it's sad because I was with a proud Wisconsinite because of some of the values that we held, and they're just being all erased by one party that is out to destroy, I feel like.
So, Stephen, hang on. Senator Taylor, you want to respond?
Stephen is right. Nothing has changed, but the only thing that I would push back on is Stephen wants to give this just to Robin Voss. It's not. This is not just Robin Voss. The Senate had to also agree. Living Hugh came out saying Robin shouldn't have negotiated without them, but in the end, they're a part of it too. And it's not just Robin Voss. The Board of Regents, the person who sat in there and negotiated, was the president of the Universities of Wisconsin, of UW-Madison. And in the end, the Board of Regents, 11 of them, they voted on this.
Right.
These are the people who have also been willing to go along with this. So stop giving it to Robin. It is the way. We have in our Constitution that slavery is okay. It is the legislature, and it is anybody who has not stood up and said, it's the people. Also, who have not stood up. It's the business owners. It's the
right.
People who say that this is not okay. Do not make it seem like it's one person, because it's not. Do not make it seem like it's just one party, because some of those people on the Board of Regents were appointed by Democrats and have screamed that they're Democrats and have supported and ran with Democrats. So in the end, yeah, they may have started it, and it's their assault on diversity throughout this state. But you know what? Martin Luther King said, it's not the actions of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
No, very well said, Senator Taylor. Thank you very much for the call, Stephen. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts.
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Senator Taylor, I miss you from being on the Ed Schultz show years ago. I wanted to ask, is there a strong correlation, would you say, between Citizens United and that conservative Supreme Court decision and all of the issues, like Earl said, you've been there for a lot of years? Is that when you would say that this all kind of started, when these billionaires like Diane Hendricks can actually own the politicians, and you yourself, as an example, have to spend so much money or so much time raising money for elections rather than actually governing for we the people? Would you say that that's a strong correlation of when this all started to happen?
But it was definitely one of the things that makes it harder, you know, because people can just pour insane amount of money in campaigns. And, you know, as a candidate, it's very difficult to compete against that. You know, if you are someone who doesn't want to, quote unquote, go along with the program, you know, if you are not independently wealthy, or if you don't have someone that can do it, it's very difficult to fight the fight to get elected, period. And I have to say, as someone who often put my own dollars in campaigns, it made for my independence to be different than others. So it's very difficult for electeds, not just candidates, but those that are elected, to feel independent in their thought, you know, because of who might have supported them, and the pressures that individuals may have to vote one way or have one position or another. So campaign finance, or how dollars can be spent on campaigns, it's a huge, you know, a huge process, a huge part of why things are the way that they are. And I'm going to end with this. You know, when you see people spend 10 times, you know, 5 times what they might make in a campaign, you know, in order to, or spent in a campaign, not just them, but on a campaign, you know, then what they would make for the job, you have to begin to ask yourself, you know, what can we do? Because it means that the average person is not going to be able to run unless they are, quote unquote, chosen. And individuals do, as if, for example, Chris Abley did in order to get David Crawley elected, and those that helped Cavalier Johnson to get elected, or that they have to do the disenfranchisement that we saw, because money is one thing, but they also do disenfranchisement in voting. And the disenfranchisement, everything from the court cases that made it where ballots could not be dropped in different places, to the very corrupt election commission that was in the city of Milwaukee under a Democrat. Because you can't say the individuals didn't have issues getting their ballots. You can't say that polling locations weren't closed for nearly a week. You can't say that they only then opened election sites that were not in the area where we had the highest voting turnout. So, those are things that are also disenfranchisement. And I just need to say for the record that those were done by Democrats. So you have issues that are happening both through who can run in campaigns by finance issues, but you also have laws that have changed that affect general elections, but you also have primary elections that get affected, and Democrats normally are doing the disenfranchisement.
Senator Taylor, let me say this, because this and what you are saying, and I have no reason to disbelieve the things you are saying, but what these things point to, not just on the state level, but as well on a national level. And when we talk about a representative government, and we see these things visually, They're not done under the cloak of darkness. This is out before the world for everybody to see that our government is for sale. And so people are falling behind. And the wealthy is getting wealthier. And people still go and struggle to vote, and they do these things, and we organize them and get them to go and vote, and nothing changes. And nothing changes. And yet years go by, and then it's another 4 years, and it's another presidential election, and we got to rally the people to do these things, but things aren't changing for the people. You know, how, and you see it. So
those in power, those in power tend to be the ones that stay in power. And this is why individuals get frustrated, and this is why people then don't go out and vote.
I know.
This is why then by 15,000, you know, vote margin that a candidate can lose to somebody as horrific as the work that we saw with, you know, Ron Johnson.
Right. And so how do we then, we talk about our government, we talk about governments in other places across the nation, and we point our fingers at their governments, and we talk about, you know, how those governments are horrible. But as a guy who has two eyes, and I'm still lucid enough that I can see what's going on, I sometimes get frustrated that there aren't more people who see what's going on, and then maybe we can be able to correct it. But I think it's kind of like you can't fix it because, again, it seems to be bigger than what any of us can handle.
There's no question that it's big, but to what your caller said, the power is, and I just believe this, and I, both as a woman of faith as well as an elected official, I believe that there is power in the people, and I believe that numbers matter, and I believe that being engaged matters. And I believe accountability matters. And I believe that you have to call out those things, and you have to speak to those things. And when people are struggling, it's very difficult for them to care about an election. They're trying to worry about where they're going to live and what they're going to eat and just being able to survive. And so, you know, I say that, but in the end, I still believe that there is power in the people and inspiring individuals to be engaged. One of the things that I say to people all the time is that, you know, people don't care to vote if they don't know you care. But if they do, if you show up and you have receipts, that people will go out and do the work. And so, you know, I'm not going to say that the process has been easy, but I believe that it's important for you to use your voice and to speak up. And no, it doesn't mean that every time you will win the battle. But I do believe that we can win the war. And I believe that we can move Wisconsin forward. And I believe the way that this, that it happens is that we have to hold wherever you're voting, whether you're, I hope you vote Democrat. Let me just tell the truth.
Hang on a second. Got to take a short hiatus this last time around. State Senator Lena Taylor, 844-967-2789. Join our conversation. Don't touch that dial. We'll be returning.
Come on.
Listening to 93.5, The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a new a reboot of Breaking Bad.
In the breast
breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My guest is State Senator Lena Taylor. And Senator Taylor, as you know, we start heading into 2024, just around the corner, the stretch run of 2023 soon be in our rearview mirror. It's a lot of things going to happen next year in this country. And the elections, you always hear people say, well, this is the most important election. But Senator Taylor, you just look at things on a national scale. You look at things here on state scale, you know, city, all of these different elections and things that are going on. And right now, one in two Americans vote. And so they vote only one in two because they feel, you know, what I've said earlier, that they don't ever see things changing for them. What do you want to say to people who, you know, the truth of the matter is that lives will never change if they don't vote, right?
That's the part that I want to say. Like, you know, I think about my ancestors who, you know, had to go through so much and had no power to vote. I think of those who then got the power to vote and those that were taken through so much and they still weren't able to vote through Jim Crow times and the poll taxes that were put on. And so, you know, I think of Harriet Tubman and, you know, the journey that she went through to, you know, free slaves and said she freed 1,000, she freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to suggest to people that things aren't frustrating. I'm not going to say that things don't need to improve. I'm not going to say that because I'm admitting that there are challenges in our process. But what I was trying to say earlier is whether you are voting, I hope you're voting Democrat or voting Republican, that you have to hold those that you voted for accountable. Voting is only one itty bitty part of it. You've got to vote and then you've got to write, you've got to call, you've got to show up, you've got to participate. And I know that life is busy and so often it's difficult to do those things. but it's important because action is what helps to create the change. And when we do show up, that we and hold and ask for accountability and force accountability, that things can change. So what I'm going to say to people is, yes, the 2024 election does matter. It matters whether or not you have an executive at the national level who believes that they can be a dictator. It matters. And every vote matters. And so people who only think to show up for presidential elections, I want to tell you, it matters if you show up for local elections so that you determine who your voice is and others are not choosing for you who your voice is, so that electeds have to go out door to door and make contact with with their people. The power is with the people. And yes, it is discouraging, but I also know that when people show up, that we can make a change, we can move, as our motto says.
Senator Taylor, if it didn't matter, there wouldn't be a withering assault, absolutely, on doing everything within their power to prevent people the right to vote. So I always say to people, and especially younger people who, you know, I don't know. I voted ever since I was 18 years old. Like I said, I'll be 70 next year. Never missed a vote. I don't care what it's for. But that was a time when my parents and I was so close to the civil rights struggle and all of those things. And I watched those people and felt an obligation, a responsibility. And so we've got so many young people in our communities now that it's hard, Senator Taylor, to get them to understand the correlation between where they are and why they are where they are. And so how do we, and I know there are people out there on a daily basis from across the nation working to try to make that happen.
Every day. And our democracy matters. And it's only as good as those of us that are in it. You know, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, even in my, in the Black caucus or in the Milwaukee caucus or in the Democratic caucus or in the Senate, we have discussions because we may not all agree. And the way that we're able to press for movement in what some of us would call a more progressive way, the only way it happens is that we show up and we're engaged. And when we show up and we're engaged, that's how we move members that are a part of whatever the group that we're in, whether it's the Black caucus, whether it's the Milwaukee caucus, whether it's the Democratic Senate caucus, or whether it's the Senate. I'm just can't say enough that getting frustrated and not engaging, believing that your vote doesn't matter, my goodness, I know colleagues that won by one vote in wards. And those one votes in multiple wards is how they won an election.
Senator Taylor, I hate to have to let you go, but I promise you, 2024 is around the corner. We need your voice more and more, and I'm going to make sure that I try to accommodate that. But we got to run. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.